has done for us. Words are not sufficient. Many years ago, I was lying on a bed in a bamboo hut in the interior of Assam, Northeast India. I turned on a tape recorder, and I heard a message that Brother Calvin Rigdon preached, and I'll never forget it. You ask not, you have not, because you ask not. That was the subject. That message was so uplifting, and I just never will forget that. I'm just using this as an illustration. What it means to our missionaries to have cassette tapes of the messages that Brother Glass has been preaching in these schools of missions through the years. How many times missionaries have said to me, Brother Sisson, you'll never know what Brother Glass's messages have meant to me. It's not only the blessing that he is to us here, those of us who are privileged to be here now, but these messages are being heard around the world by our missionaries, and no doubt many of them are preaching some of Brother Glass's messages to their people. So how do you say thank you to someone who has made such a contribution to your walk with the Lord? Words fail. All we can say to Brother Glass is we're deeply grateful from the depths of our heart. This is more than financial blessing. It's more than material blessing. It's something that gets down deep inside and strengthens you and prepares you for the work God's called you to do. That's just how we feel about this, Brother Glass. We're deeply grateful. Very deeply. Please come and minister to us.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's come and gone too quick to suit me. It don't seem like we've been here 2 weeks. Well, it isn't 2 weeks, but it's two Fridays anyway. And I've enjoyed you dear people so very much. Always do. Of course, last year you wasn't here. The other missionaries here. I enjoyed them. And they've asked me to come back next year. And whoever's here, I'm going to enjoy them. You won't be here. We'll think of you and miss you, but God bless you. I found out something in this school of missions that I'd kind of dismissed from my mind, and I thought he had, but he brought it up the other night, and I see he's still enjoying it. It is 1968 or 9, wasn't it, Brother Rooks? And you locked me up in that steam bath. I thought he'd forgotten all about it. You think about putting you in a hot steam bath and making it hot. Something like 7 times hotter than... And I thought he left. He said, I'll be back after a while. And he always put it on a timer. And when it went off, I'd take a shower and go on prayer room. He said, I'll be back after a while. Well, I thought he had it on the timer. And that thing just kept going and kept going. I kept getting weaker and weaker. And finally and lastly, it went off. And I staggered and held on to the wall to get to the bath, to the shower. And I had to lean up against the wall to take my shower. And then lean up against the outside wall to dress. And help Walls to get into the divan in his office and stretched out. Brother, I was gone. And he would sit over there in the chair and laugh. Just laugh. You've got to love a man to put up with that. But I'll tell you this, it cost him. When I did get on my feet, he had to take me to a restaurant, and I ordered the biggest steak they had, most expensive, and ate every bit of it. I'd about forgotten all that, but I see he hasn't. And now, you that call Brother Rooks your friend, would you call him a friend if he treats you that way? And I still do. Still do. One of the best friends of God. And I'll tell you missionaries in the missionary division, he's one of the best friends you have. One of the best friends you have. While I was there with him, I don't know how many times we went to the airport and just visited with missionaries coming and going. He wasn't even on the board then. You did a wise thing when you selected Brother Rooks. God bless you. Let's praise the Lord one more time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I feel bad saying all that about him, saying nothing about Sister Rooks. He wouldn't be worth a flip without her. Now, I'm going to have to dismiss my part about 5 or 10 minutes early. I got to get a flight, 11:55, out of St. Louis. And I don't want to be rushed to catch a flight. I've been rushed too many times. I caught a flight in St. Louis by 5 seconds. Now, I don't want to do that again. They had the door to the plane half closed. They said 5 more seconds, it would have been closed, and you wouldn't have got on. And I'd run from the street outside. I was panting, and I had no business of running, holding my chest, hurting. I don't want to do that again. I'm going to leave early. Praise the Lord. I'm going to speak to you this last morning from a very important thought. I think every gospel worker ought to acquaint himself with this thought. Every minister, most especially missionaries. I'm going to preach to you from the thought of Jesus on the Jericho Road. Jesus on the Jericho Road. And I'm reading a portion of a verse of Scripture from the 18th chapter of Luke, verse 35, and then 19 and 1. Jesus on the Jericho Road. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. It's Luke 18:35. Luke 19:1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, he was coming into Jericho in verse 35, and he entered and passed through in verse 19. Now, what is of interest to me is what he did on this Jericho Road. And to me, it reveals all the attributes of Jesus Christ. It reveals them all. And every gospel worker needs to be acquainted with these happenings on the Jericho Road. Now, I know you're going to feel, and probably already have, that it's a very, very simple thought. You're so well acquainted with it, but you listen to me as I minister to you. the thought of Jesus on the Jericho road, and you see his works and his attributes. And to my knowledge, many, 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 the vast majority of our ministers are strangers to this particular incident as far as practice is concerned. God bless you. God richly bless you today and tomorrow and on after you're on your field. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Now, as already mentioned, and it's in your thinking, Jesus is on the Jericho road, entering into Jericho. And he has a throng of people following him. There was more than just a few, but a mass of people following Jesus as he was going into Jericho on the Jericho road. And by the wayside, sitting over here somewhere by the wayside, maybe on some old rock or rotten piece of log or something. We don't know how long he'd been sitting there, was a poor, blind beggar. Now, I want you to consider for a few minutes what this blind beggar was really worth to society. Nothing. Nothing. As far as he was concerned, and far as the world was concerned, the world would be better off without this nuisance in their thinking. Absolutely a nuisance. Had nothing to contribute. Nothing. Not a dime in the world. And no chance, no hope of ever making a dime. What could he contribute to the followers of Christ? If there was a church nearby and he was somewhere around, what could he contribute to a church? What would he contribute to your church? A blind beggar. Probably dirty clothes, dirty face, dirty body. God only knows how long he'd been sleeping out. How long it had been since he'd had a kind word from anyone in the world. Who loved him? Who cared? Whether he lived or died, who cared? If he had a friend in all the world, where was he? If he had a brother or a cousin or a relative of any kind, where were they? Blind Bartimaeus was a loner. Friendless, penniless, no one. I'm going to keep that in your thinking. No one cared whether he lived or died. In fact, possibly some that knew him and maybe gave him the last clothes he received from any source, the last bite of bread he'd had to eat, possibly gave it to him begrudgingly. You're a nuisance. You're just in the way. You contribute nothing to no one in all the world. And you that I'm speaking to, I dare say that when you reach the place in life that you contribute nothing to no one. You're in your family's way. You're in your, if you have a companion yet living, you're in their way. You're a burden to your children. You wouldn't want to live. What did blind Bartimaeus have to live for? What did he have to hope for? And sitting there in this sad, pathetic predicament, he heard footsteps on the Jericho road. If it had been just one man passing, he wouldn't have thought one thing in the world about it. Possibly he'd heard that dozens of times since he'd been sitting there. But this, he can tell, is a procession. It's not just one, two, or three. It's a throng of people passing. He can tell from the sound of the footsteps. And he mentions, what meaneth this? What is this? And someone, whoever it was, I'm just going to say they were kind enough to take a moment of their time and tell him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He didn't say the pastor of the First Pentecostal Church of Jericho is passing by. He didn't say the Sunday school superintendent of the First Pentecostal Church in Jericho is passing by. If they'd have told him that, he'd have possibly thought no more. But they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What a day in this man's life. What a day. And he thought he'd heard about Jesus. He heard about his power to heal. And possibly had heard that he even loved the poor. He possibly heard that because Jesus sent John the Baptist word. The poor have heard the gospel. The gospel has been preached to the poor. And Bartimaeus may have heard that Jesus cared for the poor. And he cried out, O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And those in the congregation, in the crowd, passing by, were of the opinion. And God bless your heart, you think with me as I discuss this with you. Are we of the opinion? Now those walking with Jesus was of the opinion that the Lord had no time for that nuisance. Had no time for him. And besides that, there's a rich man down the road waiting for him. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, with Jesus, it makes no difference whether you're rich or poor. And the sooner you and I learn that with Jesus, it makes no difference whether you're rich or poor, he loves your soul. Praise God. He loved blind Bartimaeus, and no one thought he did. No one in the crowd that we have any record of even had a thought that Jesus would have time for a man like that. Praise God. I tell you, I saw the film last night of our precious brother. And oh, I felt so close to him. Felt so appreciative of him that he would go to that part of the world with this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and then see those, I'll call them unfortunate people, see those people rejoicing. You saw some receiving the Holy Ghost. I saw a man flat of his back, and you could tell they put the camera down close enough. I didn't hear a thing, but I could tell from the movement of his lips he was speaking in tongues, receiving the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. God bless your heart. I don't care where you go, what country it is, how poor that individual may be that you come in contact with, Jesus Christ loves them. He loves them. Praise the Lord. He loves them. And he didn't hurry. He didn't hurry himself up one moment to get away from blind Bartimaeus and on down where Zacchaeus was. And I have said this, and don't mind saying it to you. I'm glad this passage of Scripture is in the Bible. Now you just blot out these few verses that tell you about blind Bartimaeus. Just blot it out. And it would be a complete book. We'd have the plan of salvation. We'd have everything we really needed. But I'm telling you, I'm glad this is in here. Because it makes me know that Jesus loves the poor. And had he not loved the poor, I'd have never been saved. If you had to classify with Zacchaeus, I wouldn't have made it. But I can identify. The only difference in blind Bartimaeus and me was I wasn't blind and I never did beg. But I was as poor as they come back into depression times. And God loved me enough to save me. And if He'll love me enough to save me, He'll save anybody wherever you go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they may be worth more to you and your church than you think they are. I remember one Sunday afternoon, it was pretty early in the afternoon, I got a telephone call from one of the ladies in the church. She was at church Sunday morning. And she said, "Brother Glass, I want you to pray this afternoon for Herbert." That's her husband. Said he's promised to come to church with me tonight. And just want you to pray. Well, they were a nice family. They were a family that you would say and I would say takes nothing away from the congregation. Add to it. But I don't know as anybody takes anything away from the congregation. When you get down to it. We've got it in our minds. Some will add to us and some will take from us. But we don't know. We don't know. I prayed. I asked God to bless and do the service. There Herbert sat. And I had Herbert in my mind. Maybe a little too much. I don't know. Sometimes it's easy to get such people in your mind a little too much. You don't want somebody to shout. And you want to everything to be kind of on the QT, and that's not the best. You've got to have apostolic service regardless of who's there. And that night, there was in our little city a young man that was very unfortunate. He was crippled. His hand was You've seen him like this. That's the way he went, his hand. And then his right foot was somewhat paralyzed, and he hobbled as he went, just as poor as anybody in town. God bless his little heart. I guess he's in his late teens, maybe 20. I don't know how long it had been since somebody had washed his hair. And it didn't look like you could comb it. And he was dirty. His face was dirty. Hardly ever come to church. Hardly ever. But when he take an oath to come to our church, he'd come. He wanted to go to Baptist, Methodist, wherever he wanted to go, he went. This night, I'm of the opinion God sent him to our church. He was sitting pretty close to the front, and there's Mr. Herbert back there. And when I gave the altar call, here come Gene Parker. First one down with the altar. His left hand is one as good. He went to pounding on that altar and praying just as loud as he could. Well, a few more had come to the altar, those that had been seeking, they come. I could no longer continue the appeal, and tell you the truth, I was embarrassed, and the saints was embarrassed, and I just said, come on, saints, and pray. And they were glad to get down there and pray, and a lot of them prayed a little louder than they usually did to try to drown him out. And the service is all over, and Herbert and his wife starts home, and they got about halfway home, and his wife said to him, poor little old Gene Parker. He said, what do you mean, poor little old Gene Parker? She said, oh, Herbert said, you saw what he did. You heard him. Said, he don't come to our church all the time. I don't know how long it's been since he's been there. But you saw what he did. You heard him. I just feel sorry for him. He said, if you're going to feel sorry for anybody, you ought to feel sorry for me and the rest there like me. Said, you can call Gene crazy if you want to, but he did have sense enough to go to the altar and pray. And I didn't. And do you know, that man came back to church and got the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and died a board member of that church. And Gene Parker touched him. When me trying to steer a service didn't faze him. Me trying to preach something that would get a hold of him didn't touch him. But Gene Parker did. God bless your heart. These cut and dried services we kindly fix to reach somebody, you leave it with God and let God reach them. Praise the Lord. That is the best thing that ever happened for Herbert Lewis was Gene Parker go down to that altar and start pounding, embarrassing everybody, but that's all right. God used it. God will use it again. One of our pastors told me he had a young man in his church that was somewhat, you would call, and I guess I would call, somewhat simple-minded. And said one night there was a businessman and his wife at church that Sunday night. And when he got through preaching, giving the altar appeal, this young man went back to this businessman and his wife. And some of the saints sitting standing around heard it. It embarrassed them, and they couldn't hardly wait to go tell the pastor. And this young man, I'm going to tell it just like they said he said it. He said to the businessman and his wife, do you want to go to heaven? They accepted what you would have accepted, that he meant, do you want to go to the altar? But he said, do you want to go to heaven? And the man answered, no. No. He said, then go to hell. I'm saying just like he said it. I wouldn't have said it like that. But he said, then go to hell. And some of the saints around there heard it, embarrassed the life out of him. They went and told the pastor as soon as they could get to him. The businessman and his wife are gone. And the pastor couldn't hardly sleep all night. He's worried and fretting. You pastors can imagine. And he purposed through the night praying for him that he was going the next morning and see the man and apologize and try to explain to him. And he got up and dressed and left pretty early and went by the church. He thought he'd go by the church and pray a while. And when he got to the church, this businessman was parked there in a car. And he said, oh my, he's come to see me. Feeling like he's coming to let him have it because of what this young man did. He got out of his car and walked over to the man's car and he said, I was going to see you. He said, what were you going to see me about? He said, I was going to apologize to you for what that young man... He said, don't apologize to me for nothing. I've been living in hell all night. I've come here to get you to pray with me today. Praise the Lord. God can take these simple, foolish things and use it to His own name's honor and glory. When our polished preaching and wonderful singing don't touch them, don't faze them at all. But God can take foolish things. Praise the Lord.
Well, I haven't got much longer, and I want to get a little bit further. Praise the Lord. Jesus on the Jericho Road. Here is the attributes of Christ proving His love for somebody that nobody else in the world loves. Nobody. But He loved them. And he, blind Bartimaeus cried out to Him, and somebody, hush, hush. They didn't think Jesus at any time. But blind Bartimaeus not going to let his chance slip. This is my opportunity. Others have had theirs. This is mine. I may never have it again. He cried the louder. And I had time. I'd elaborate a little more here. I think maybe Jesus gave him time to see if he could be stopped. People can stop you. And I convinced myself that's one of the things people have to overcome to find God is people. That's your biggest trouble is people. Blind Bartimaeus had to overcome people. Zacchaeus had to overcome people. Man let down through the roof had to overcome people. Woman with the issue of blood had to overcome people. People is the biggest enemy. But he's not going to let people stop him. He cried the louder. And Jesus said, bring him here. And I'm going to be honest with you people. I hope whoever it was, I don't care if it was Peter, James, and John, whoever it was that told blind Bartimaeus to hush, I hope they're the ones that had to go get him. It'd just be good for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't, because Jesus has a way of breaking such spirits as that down. And the Lord took all the time that was needed for blind Bartimaeus. And you don't have to agree with me if you don't want to. But the majority of our people would have run over blind Bartimaeus to get to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus has got something to contribute. Will he contribute it? That's yet to be known. Will he add as much to you as you think he will? That God knows what he's doing. Anyway, I'm stressing the point. Don't neglect the poor or the rich. You're not going to touch many of them. Our congregation is made up mostly of poor people. Those that support you as missionaries, vast majority of them are poor people. After they pay their tithes, support their church and their pastor, give in Sunday school, give to every division, Mother's Memorial, Cheese for Christ, Christmas for Christ, they'll come back and support missions. Poor people. Thank God for the poor. Abraham Lincoln said God undoubtedly loved the poor. He made so many of them. Praise the Lord. Well, after he is finished ministering, blind Bartimaeus follows him. He's healed and he becomes one of the followers, and Jesus gets into Jericho. I read to you where Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And Zacchaeus, unfortunately, was low or short of stature. He wanted to see Jesus so bad, he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Now, you that have been to Jericho, I don't know whether you were told this or not, but we were shown the only sycamore tree in Jericho. And they told us that the history of Jericho is, this is the only sycamore tree that's ever been in Jericho. And it's still living. Green leaves on it when we were there. They said, now we can't say this is the tree Zacchaeus climbed up in. But as far as we know, this is the only sycamore tree that's ever been in Jericho. And Zacchaeus climbed up in it. And here comes the throng, the crowd. And I say, he prayed a prayer that Jesus heard and never even opened his mouth. The Lord saw in him a strong desire to see Jesus. Now, he saw it in him. I tell people, and when you give an altar call, and they'll hang back there and make you beg them 30 minutes before they come, when they all know all the time they're going to drag down there before it's over. Brother, I'd show the Lord I'm anxious. I'd run down there. I wouldn't hang back. I'd get down there. Let the Lord see. I can show you where the Lord weighs actions. I can preach on that. Well, Zacchaeus is up in a tree. He wanted to see the Lord, and the Lord looked up in that tree and told Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home with you. I'm going to abide at your house. Well, Brother Glass, I've known that all the time. Yes, you're hearing it again. And I'm glad to tell you, Jesus didn't come to this world to parade up and down highways with throngs of people. He came to seek and to save the lost. And when he finds one man that shows an interest in being saved, he'll leave the masses. Goodbye, throngs. Goodbye, crowds. I'm going where someone really wants to see me. Where did I go a few days ago to preach? Where did I go? Yeah. Saturday night before I came here Monday, I went to preach an anniversary service for a pastor. And he was so disappointed. It's Friday night. They were having a rally in a neighboring church. And this whole section is obligated to that rally. And I got there and he said, "Brother Glass, there's going to be nobody here but us tonight. All the other churches are going to the rally." I said, "I forgot about the rally when I announced this service. I'm embarrassed for you." I said, "Well, my, I come to preach to your church. I didn't come to preach to the community." He said, "But we won't have a crowd." I said, "That won't make no difference. It'll make a bit of difference in the world." And I told him, I said, "I say this and I practice this. If proud is your inspiration, it's the wrong inspiration." Now say amen to that. If a crowd is your inspiration, if it takes a crowd to inspire you, you've got the wrong inspiration. Jesus preached the new birth message to one man. Praise the Lord. And the Lord left. Now, how many of us would have left the masses, just left them, to just go their way, anywhere you want to go? You go. I'm going with a man that has an interest. And when you find someone that's got an interest, showing an interest, that's the one for you to take an interest in. Just let the thrones. This is Jesus on the Jericho Road. All of his attributes. You see him right here. You see him. They found fault with him. Look, he's gone to be guest for the man that's a sinner. But what did he come for? What did he come for? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I gave you the burden of my heart this morning. Let's stand and love the Lord. Praise God. Praise that anybody that hadn't done it, I let them laugh. Had a regional missionary convention in the Philippines years ago. Brother Tenney was director then, and they wanted me to go and preach this regional convention, and I went. And we all met in the Philippines or in Manila, stayed in a hotel there 2 or 3 days, had 2 or 3 services, and then we went up the country somewhere for the convention. Last night I was standing in the lobby waiting for the elevator to come down, and the elevator came down and the doors opened, and there stood Brother and Sister Dobbins in one another's arms.
Praise God.
To us, that is beauty. That is beauty.
Sure.
And one reason why I appreciated it so much: if I get in a new elevator with Sister Glass today, I'm going to kiss her in that elevator.
Right.
How many of you men have kissed your wives in an elevator? All right, don't laugh. I thought that was beautiful.
Amen. You may be seated.